Hello, world. This is the Know Your Place podcast. I'm Charles Altendorf. Last week, we talked about the differences between Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Nashville, Tennessee. This week, we're going to talk about what it's like to move between two very distinct places. I'll talk about what it's like to move between Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Raleigh, North Carolina. And my guest, Jay, will talk about the differences between Tyler, Texas, and Memphis, Tennessee. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. This is the Know Your Place podcast, and I am Charles Altendorf. This week, we are going to talk about moving. A lot of people, I don't know how many people out there have moved, but, you know, I've moved a lot in my lifetime. And, you know, I think as time goes on, we're going to see a lot of us moved as kids. So I moved from Milwaukee to Raleigh, North Carolina, to be exact, West Bend. And that was a bit of a culture shock, but my friend here, Jay, he also moved as well. So say hello to the fans, Jay.
Hello, fans. How are you?
Now, Jay, where did you move from to?
Well, I've moved all over the place. I was born in Tyler, Texas, but not too long after I was born. I lived in Syracuse, New York for a little bit. Don't really remember that besides my swing set being half buried in the snow. I lived in Little Rock, Arkansas for a little while and don't really remember that. But then the next place I spent the longest was Memphis, Tennessee. So Memphis, Tennessee, that was the first place I started developing real memories of a place I lived.
Okay, so do you consider that your hometown, or is that a different sort of discussion?
I don't know. I don't think I'd really consider Memphis my hometown. I've actually lived here in Bloomington the longest. And
Bloomington, Indiana, just so everyone's clear. There are three Bloomingtons.
Yes, yes. There's probably more than three Bloomingtons. But I don't know. Seeing that I've spent a lot of my life actually in the South, I don't know if Bloomington really feels like my hometown. As much as I didn't like Tyler, Texas when I lived there, I kind of feel like that's my hometown.
Oh, well, that's an interesting segue. So I consider Milwaukee to be my hometown, even though I didn't really live there that much, because that's where most of my family is. That's where most of my memories
Same
go back
to. Yeah.
And that's, you know, I went back there every year, twice a year as a kid.
Now, and I guess, you know, I'd go to Texas when I was little. I'd go there, you know, two, three times a year, so. Yeah, okay, we'll say Tyler, Texas is my hometown then.
So anyways.
I did not want Tyler, Texas to be my hometown, but we'll roll with it. Go ahead.
All right, so anyway, so when I was about, when I was in first grade, we moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. So
and that's why you're a Hurricanes fan.
That's why I'm a Hurricanes fan. So that would be the biggest move for me because, well, I did move to Kentucky after Raleigh, but that's a whole nother sideshow we won't get into in this episode. Anyway, but I grew up, so why I have some, my memories of Wisconsin and sort of Milwaukee all tie back to my family, being around my grandfather, walking on the main street in Port Washington, which is a suburb to the north of Milwaukee that's on Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And it's sort of like my memories all tie around to that city and all of the culture around it. So I think of, like, you know, getting cheese all the time with everything.
You gotta have cheese if you're talking about that area.
You know, coming to the Christmas party and people have the beer outside because it's cold and that keeps it cold.
Yep, or you stick it in the snow.
Yeah,
that's so, something I've learned since being here in Bloomington, that if you ever want to make your beer nice and cold, you go stick it out in the snow. Assuming it has snowed, obviously.
Assuming that. But yeah, so that's where my memories go back to. And Milwaukee, like I said in my previous episode, the thing I miss the most about it is the diversity. The fact that there's neighborhoods with lots of old identity, or even the suburbs like Port Washington. My parents' hometown was in a sitcom. Have you ever heard of the show Step by Step?
Oh, yeah, that was TGIF back in the day.
Yeah, that was Suzanne my parents' hometown is where that was supposed to be.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, that's cool. Man, that's a blast from the past. That was when Family Matters was on, and
I think, which was based in Chicago, another city with strong neighborhood identities as well.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Milwaukee, two questions. Do you think, well, let me ask you, what's the population of Milwaukee, or what was it at the time you lived there, at least?
Well, it's a funny question. It's been pretty much flat at 600,000 since 1990.
Okay, so it's not like a massive city.
Well, it is 30th in the United States.
Okay.
So...
Well, we're not talking about, like, a Houston or L.A. or anything.
No, it's not top 10 or anything like that. Although, it's kind of interesting when we talk about peaks and valleys for cities, right? Because Milwaukee hit its peak in the 60s. But it wasn't like Detroit, where half the people left.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 20% of the population dropped off. Okay. It's had quite a demographic shift. But it's kind of flat, I don't want to say. Like, as many people come as go.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so we know in Bloomington, Indiana, we have Indiana University. So right. We have a pretty diverse crowd, I guess, here.
Yeah.
Compared to here, how would you say, how diverse is Milwaukee?
Oh, it is.
Way more?
Way more.
Really?
I've covered this in the last podcast, but Milwaukee, when I'm up there, I can go and... I went to the donut shop. It was owned by Indian people who had a picture up of Gandhi. You go down the road, there's a Mexican restaurant, and then right down the street from that, there's an Italian restaurant owned by Italians.
You know, we don't have a lot of Mexican food places here in Indiana. That's one thing I really miss about the South. But sorry, as you
and
were...
And then on top of that, there's also a Hmong population from Vietnam there. And then even if you want to go deeper into that, you know, there's a very strong Polish and German crowd, as well as Native Americans still.
That is pretty diverse, I must say. I mean, yeah, here in Bloomington, I mean, as far as the diversity goes, though, I guess that just really ties into Indiana University. It doesn't tie into the townies. The townies are very much white around here.
Well, it's not even just, like, white, though, like in Milwaukee, because the biggest thing that, and this is what we'll get into a little more when I talk about the culture shock for me, moving out of the Milwaukee area to anywhere else, really, is that it's not just that there's white and black people. There's, like, lots of different groups of white people, and the black people aren't the only group of minorities there.
I gotcha.
So, like, when I tell my friends when I go up there, when I get outside of Milwaukee proper, where most of the black people live, I'm more likely to run into a Native American person or a Mexican person than a black person.
That is very interesting.
Which I don't think many places in America are really like that.
Well, I mean, Milwaukee is a straight-up Indian name, so...
I mean, yes. Right? Wisconsin has a very large Native American population, although it's not as large as Oklahoma or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. This is true. This is true. It's kind of funny that you say that because you went to a place that had a lot of culture, and then when you went to other places, I take it that's what you're saying, there was lack of culture.
That's what I constantly feel like. Whenever I talk to people about this stuff, I'm like, I feel like they don't know what I mean. I'll say, like, I just don't feel like there's as much culture. And they're like, what do you mean by that?
Right. No, I get that. I get that. And
it's not like a New York or L.A. type of culture where it's like, oh, we got mass media kind of culture. Mm-hmm. It's like there's these neighborhoods with very strong identity.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I totally get that. And it's funny because... You know, we're talking about hometowns, and man, Tyler's not going to be very exciting at all. I mean, it's just basically like white Baptist, like just plain vanilla white, not really a whole diverse crowd around. It's pretty wonderful.
And I say that my parents' hometown is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can drive 30 minutes and be in Milwaukee. Yeah. So.
But when I lived in Memphis, that's one thing I do remember, that there were a lot of groups there.
Right.
And in Memphis, you know, whites were the minority. I think it was, when I lived there, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 60% black, 40% white.
Yeah, Milwaukee's now 40% white in the city proper.
Also, you mentioned German. There's a big German population there. My dad was treasurer for a German club.
In Memphis.
In Memphis, yeah, for a long time. See,
that blows my mind. I don't know what... I'm trying to think what my preconceived notions are of Memphis, and all I can think of is sort of like Elvis and Sun Records and like
that's a big part of it
and,
for sure.
And you know, maybe barbecue, but yeah. I haven't had much of the Memphis style barbecue.
It's
so.
You know, honestly, I don't remember what it was like. I just remember it was good. So, you know, when you get older, you know, you can start identifying stuff better. When I was younger, it's like it tastes good, whatever, but how you stuff it in your mouth. But yeah, Memphis, there was a lot of soul there, to I guess to put it. You know, it was an interesting place. It sounds funny, but I just remember there being a lot of black people there, and that's kind of what I grew up around. And you know, like, I grew up on Def Comedy Jam and that kind of stuff. And it's so funny because the culture shock part of it, living in Memphis for a while, it was funny because I would be there and then I'd go home to my hometown. My grandparents.
We'll call it the pseudo hometown for the rest of this discussion.
So, Tyler, Texas, at least when I was around, it was quite racist. Quite racist.
You know, there are rumors about Texas and rural Texas in particular.
Yes. Now, I found this out from a friend of mine recently, because for a long time I thought that the movie Dazed and Confused was actually based off of the high school and middle school I went to, and which was Hubbard Middle School and Robert E. Lee High School. Right. And that's the movies that are depicted in Dazed and Confused. Apparently it's not actually based on Tyler, it's based on somewhere else, but it's kind of the East Texas thing in general. The hazing thing, it's real. I went through it, although I didn't get paddled. I got my head shaved, so that was even better.
Really? They haze people in high school there?
They haze people in high school. So, in Dazed and Confused, you saw that people would get, the seniors would chase the kids down and paddle them. So what they would do when I was around is the seniors would track you down outside of school. They would shave your head, all sorts of messed up. They would draw all sorts of fun things, such as male genitalia on your head with a Sharpie. And you had to go to school like that the next day. And if you took care of it, like if you cleaned everything up before you went back, they would just get you again. And the teachers all knew about this. So kids would come in and they would say, you can't be here at school like that. Send them off campus to get your hair cut. All the freshman boys were bald. It was weird.
That is mind-blowing.
And the girls, what you saw in Dazed and Confused, that's still what happened to the girls at my school. But it was weird, and I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I think that that is all done, because if I heard right, a mother pulled a shotgun on somebody that was going to shave their kid's head, whatever. When I did it, you know, I didn't really want to do it, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. But then a bunch of my friends came by, and they were, you know, I was in the skater crowd. Like, well, you know, you can start running, we can have fun with it. And so I did it, and it wasn't traumatizing or anything, but it was still kind of dumb. But anyway, so Texas, that's kind of the mentality that you think of a little bit. So when I lived in Memphis for a long time, and actually this happened any place I lived, we would go back and visit my grandparents and Tyler. And grandparents were racist, man. They were horribly racist. So I'd hear all these like horrible, horrible, quote-unquote jokes. And then I go back to Memphis, and I'm just like, I'm not saying any of this. I'm not saying any of this ever, and it's, yeah. And then when my parents divorced, I moved back to Tyler, Texas, and that was a culture shock, if you can imagine.
So you say, so now we're going to sort of cut into more talking about where we moved to, the culture shock that happened. So for me, the big shock in moving to North Carolina, and Raleigh in particular, not only being in a place that was growing very rapidly, but like just being in a place where it's not a complete neighborhood. Like, they threw up, you know, subdivisions, you know. In fact, the BBC did a special once where they were going back in and trying to put in more sidewalks so people could actually walk to places. And I'm used to growing up like, I was in West Bend, a suburb of Milwaukee where we lived for a while. You could walk from the house a half a mile, go down and be at the pizza place. Or you could
walk. So everything was more compact, right?
Well, yeah, I actually looked this up. I was very shocked to find this out because I never thought of it this way, but Milwaukee's actually the second most dense metropolitan area in the Midwest.
Really? See, that's funny. By contrast, when I lived in Texas, everything was so massively spread out. It was sickening.
Well, I mean, that is the stereotype of Texas.
It's bigger, it's better. Blah, yeah. Blah. No, but Dallas is just the prime example of that, where you can be someplace and you have to drive forever to get to your point B, and there's just nothing between, it seems like.
Well, in Raleigh, it wasn't even just that, like, I mean, there was stuff next to other things, but you'd have to get out, you'd have to drive out. You couldn't walk there. It's just the most mind-blowing thing. It is getting better there now, from what I understand, but I haven't lived there in 15 years now. But it was just crazy. You didn't feel much connection. Like, the really mind-blowing thing, this is going to blow a lot of our listeners' minds right here.
Blow their minds, man.
Wake County Public Schools had this thing called the Magnet Program. Now,
Magna Program?
Magnet.
Like, magnet, like a thing you put on your refrigerator.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, you could choose whatever school you went to.
Okay.
So like...
like out of district, whatever you just wanted to do.
Well, within the county. Okay. But still, it was a huge county. People would be riding the bus for like 3 hours in a day or something. Like in my elementary school... you could come in, get dropped off, and then take another bus to another school and be at that school.
That does not seem... I don't know what that seems, actually. That's just 3-hour bus rides to school? Lame.
Well, the whole reasoning behind this crazy scheme was to integrate the schools. But it got totally insane. Like, my middle school was... 70% black and 30% white, but all the white kids were in the advanced classes.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it really changed anything.
Right.
Other than the fact that people were being bussed around crazy amounts. But then we moved before I went to high school, but when I was going to go to high school, they did this thing where you went to a giant gymnasium when you were in eighth grade, and all the high schools would try and pitch their high school to you in the district.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's interesting. So it's completely different than anything I've ever seen since. So everybody just, you know, they think of schools as like, you know, just a set thing. You have a district or
that
whatever
you go to, and if you live there, that's where you go type thing. Yeah.
Right. So in Raleigh, because I was a magnet student, right, everybody in my neighborhood went to different schools. And these were all public schools, though. It wasn't like private schools.
The fact that public schools, yeah, that's a little weird. Because, I mean, when I lived in Memphis, I had... like, kids in my neighborhood, they all went to different schools, but a lot of people went to, like, private schools and this and that and da-da-da. And I also think we were on some kind of border where whatever people would go to. But anyway, so, yeah, it was just kind of... That is kind of weird that you had a neighborhood where everybody went to different schools. And...
so, I mean, it's, like, the total opposite of a strong neighborhood identity, right? Because,
right,
like, nobody...
has anything to identify with.
Like, you're like, cool, what? I have neighbors? I mean, granted, our neighborhood wasn't too bad. I was friends with a lot of the neighborhood kids. But it's just, like, it's so weird, man. It's, like...
yeah, I definitely get that. I get that.
So, let's see. Other culture shock sort of thing. So... the car-dependent culture, and then... but Raleigh did have a couple of neighborhoods that had strong identity. There was one called Hayes Barton, and it was, like, this Five Points crossing, and it had been there a long time, and it had a couple, like, restaurants there and things like that. So it was a very interesting little spot. And then there's this other place where I was trying to get into high school. It's called Broughton High School, and it was next to this place called Cameron Village, which was an old area around an old library.
Mm-hmm.
Built in the 1800s in
Sounds
Raleigh.
Cool.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know all the story behind that. So, anyway. Yeah, so Raleigh was a culture shock. And then it was weird because they finally got a pro hockey team when I lived there.
Yeah.
Which, of all the pro sports to move to North Carolina, you don't expect hockey to move there.
No, not exactly. That's like when Vegas got their team. It's like you totally didn't... well, you can kind of see the market for it a little bit, but no, in Carolina, not so much.
Yeah, so it was... there are some few things I miss about being there. I guess the main thing I missed was being the closeness to everything of the East Coast. You know, we went to D.C. for my fifth grade class field trip.
There you go. That's a good field trip.
And me and my parents would go to Virginia Beach a lot. go to Asheville, North Carolina a lot in the mountains. Now,
Myrtle Beach, that's South
one of the, Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah. Okay, okay.
I've and been that wasn't before. That far either from Raleigh. We went there a couple times.
Myrtle Beach is dope, man. That place is really, really cool.
Yeah, so it was, I do miss that, but then also when I lived in Raleigh, there was two times we had actual hurricanes.
So, not hockey hurricanes, but real deal hurricanes.
And that knocked out the power for a couple weeks each time.
Man, I've never been in a hurricane, fortunately. I've been in aftermaths of hurricane, and that's still not fun, but factual hurricanes? No. Yeah. Never been in a tornado either, which we have a lot of those here in Bloomington.
Yes, it does seem like tornadoes have hit in Indiana quite a lot. Although, my dad was born 2 days before a tornado hit their hometown.
That's a not good timing.
Yeah, my grandfather rushed home from the office just to see if everything was okay. It's very strange.
Man.
He's the youngest of 5 kids.
Man. People don't have 5 kids a whole lot nowadays,
No. Yeah. Although we're still at replacement rate in the United States. We're not Germany and Japan level yet.
No.
Although Germany, it's a big deal. They've gone back up to 1.5 children per couple.
So you can have a half a kid.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Seems legit. No, but the culture shock, you know, from my point of view, you know, I told you that it was in Memphis and then Tyler. And when I lived in Tyler, Texas, you know, I said it was, you know, it wasn't very diverse. I think I'd mentioned to you one time before that one of the very first things that somebody actually asked me and said to me on my first day of school said, "Are you racist?" And I was just like, in my mind, I'm thinking, "What the hell are you asking me about?" And it's like, "No." And he said, "Don't worry, we'll make you racist." And it's just, oh man, this is bad. And also, when I lived in Tyler, there was there's this church that's still there. It's called Green Acres Baptist Church, and this church is kind of mega church status. I mean, you know, spent over $1 million on their stained glass window, stadium seating, you know, big televisions, all that sort of stuff. So when I was young and, you know, being angry about my parents' divorce, At the time I had a disdain for religion. So,
yeah.
And also I worked in dial-up internet tech support.
Oh,
so
man.
I hated old people for a long time because of that too. And in Tyler, the average age is 60 to 80 because it's a bunch of washed-up oil tycoons. It's like number one retirement community in that region. So, it didn't go over well for me at all. And I met my ex-wife there, and, you know, it was somebody that, oh, we're both atheists, and, you know, we want young people and diverse people around, and...
Well, and that's something I was sort of going to push back on a little. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get, you know, what it's like to be around a crowd of everybody like yourself. My high school was much like that. But, you know, at the same time, I think a lot of people think that once they move out of that environment, that just moving somewhere that has more other people is going to...
And I was going to get at that, actually. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because... So my ex's mom, she lives here, and we came here for a funeral a long time ago, and my ex's mom showed us around, and we liked it here. Right. And then one day we moved here. We just decided we had enough of Texas. We're going to do a new start.
Right.
So we came here to Texas, or came here to Texas.
Indiana.
To Indiana, yeah. Yes. So the Texas of the Midwest, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I just made that up.
Everything's bigger in Indiana.
No. There's all the corn is in Indiana. That's what we have here. So when we moved to Bloomington, it was the greatest thing ever because I was probably, I was 22, I think. And so with Indiana University, it's like, oh, there's people my age, everybody's diverse, and, you know, just it's all the diversity. But as I got older, got wiser, got divorced, and all that, my views have pivoted quite a bit. And I did get jaded to the college crowd pretty quick here, and I'm really jaded with it now. And now that I've kind of become more of a townie here in Bloomington, I see kind of the seedy underbelly of Bloomington and its townie-ish ways. And I used to think that I would probably die here in Bloomington, and maybe within the last year and a half or so, not so much anymore.
So yeah, that's the interesting debate, and I don't know if a lot of people actually have this debate very much anymore. Is there's this famous quote that was appreciated to Winston Churchill, although a lot of people think that he actually didn't say it now. But it's something about if you have no heart in your 20s if you're not a liberal, but you have no head if you're not a conservative
in
your 40s.
I've heard that.
I've always wondered how that plays out when people grow up and become adults, you know, and start to live, you know. Because I've met, you know, obviously I've met a lot of people who, you know, they moved to the college town for the college experience and grew up in the sort of smaller town, whereas that's the opposite of me largely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always wonder, you know, when will, at some point, will they change their mind, or are they hanging on to some kind of ideal they're grasping at from their youth, you know?
You know, personally speaking, this is true. This is very true. I mean, when I was younger, I was a musician that got to do a teeny bit of touring, a teeny bit of recording with some cool people. Right. You get all these big ideals, and those are things that you get comfortable with. And then you go through things like your parents splitting up, and then, you know, being married to somebody that you didn't know really who you're married to, come to find out. And then so you start regressing to these old things, and you start finding this kind of, I don't know, I've been researching this a lot, if you can't tell, but so it's more like diving into this kind of comfort zone, more of being more, not so grown up, being more sheltered and just taken care of and not wanting to grow up really. And then after, you know, everything kind of exploded with my marriage, then that turned around very, very quick. And so Bloomington now, you know, with, it seems diverse and everything here too, but it's also, we're going down that cruddy path that you know, not to get too political, but that the far left is going, and it's not very fun to deal with. But
yeah,
culture shocks, it's fun.
I think
I've had two of them since I've been here.
So yeah, in sort of wrapping this whole discussion up, I think the biggest thing for me is that I think the a place where, I don't know, I've lived a lot of places, seen a lot of things, and I don't know, sometimes I just really long for what I had as a kid in greater Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm comfortable most places. I think that you have to learn to be comfortable in a lot of different environments.
Very true. It's very beneficial when you get to a point in your life where you realize that there's all walks of people, and everybody that you see know something that you don't, and if you can just try to get along better with people and just, you know, not be a jerk about things, because that was a huge problem in Tyler. I mean, you know, pardon the language, but you'd walk down the if you walk down the street in Tyler, you would have an F-150 drive by and somebody would be like, like, what? I'm just walking down the road. And you know, here it's not a big problem.
Right. So, yeah, that would be the biggest thing in closing, I would say. You know, learning to be comfortable in a lot of environments is key. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know which way is better to grow up. I don't know if it's better to grow up sheltered in a small town as a youth.
I honestly don't.
But, you know, at the same time, an urban environment isn't all that people crack it up to be either. You know,
when I lived in Memphis, I mean, it was a murder a day. That was standard. And if you heard every day going to school, I'd hear, you know, my dad would take me to school. You'd hear on the radio about somebody that got shot or killed. And you just, okay, whatever. That's just how it is. So, well, you know, living here in Bloomington, definitely feel a lot safer. And, you know, it does kind of desensitize you when you live in a place where there is a murder a day. But it also kind of exposes you to how the real world is, too. And you get to meet all the walks of life that are out there. And in a bigger city, you're definitely going to get that for sure. I think Memphis at the time,
it's a big city.
1.2 when I lived there. It might be over 2 million now. I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. Could be totally lying. But yeah, I don't know. There's dangerous aspects to it. There's seedy aspects of it. But you get exposed to it, and I think that betters you as a person than being surrounded by all these things that are comfortable and what you're used to. And then when you do see those other cities, you move to those other cities, you're not necessarily prepared. But what do I know?
Well, anyway, we'll close it up here. I'd like to thank Jay for coming on, and yeah, let us know who you think had the bigger culture shock, or what you think is better. Maybe you think we should grow up all in small towns or big cities.
I'm working on growing up every day.
All right, thank you all.
Cool, thank you.
Check out the Know Your Place podcast on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word, or on Facebook at facebook.com/knowyourplacepodcast, all one word. And we will be coming soon to YouTube and iTunes, and maybe another social media platform near you. Special thanks to my wife, Sarah, and Jay Graff for the riff.